Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Satan was using my own focus on him and my own amplification of his power to intimidate me and to do that. And if you are having demonic manifestations and it seems like you're just plagued in your dreams, it's because you've given Satan more credit than he deserves. Look at this passage of Scripture over in Ezekiel chapter 28. In Ezekiel chapter 28, in verse 11, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him." Now, this is talking about the king of Tyrus, but it's really not talking about him. It's talking about the spirit that is working through him. And as you read through this, you can see it very clearly by the things that it's saying. It says in the next phrase, it says, "Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." That's not talking about a man. In verse 13, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." That's not talking about a man. As soon as God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, he put a cherubim there at the end, at the east end of the garden with a flaming sword to protect it and to keep it from people. No person has ever entered into the Garden of Eden since that time. This isn't talking about the king of Tyrus. It's talking about the demonic power that was working through him. Just as Jesus did. If you remember last night, I was taking those verses out of Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." He was talking to Peter, but he was talking to the demonic power operating through him. So in verse 13, it says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." Now notice that this is describing this demonic power in the Garden of Eden, and it's describing him with this beauty and all of these things. Later, we'll read this in Isaiah 14, and later in this same chapter, Satan is described as this corrupted, terrible looking being. That's after his fall. He lost all of his beauty and stuff. This is describing him still in his sinless, perfect state in the Garden of Eden. And notice it says that his pipes and his tabrets was prepared in him in the day that he was created. That's kind of awkward, but most scholars believe that that's talking about that literally Lucifer had musical instruments built into his body. His whole body was to worship the Lord. He was like the praise leader in heaven. I just heard something really good about praise and worship leaders. You know how many worship leaders it takes to change a light bulb? Just one. He just puts his hand up here and the world revolves around him. Well, that's what happens when you're really gifted and talented. And that's the way that the devil was right here. And it says in verse 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub." Now see, again, this is a terminology that makes it clear. This isn't talking about the man. It's talking about the demonic power that was working through him. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And all that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. That's talking about Satan, and it's describing him in his perfect state in the Garden of Eden. Again, I believe that that precludes a pre-Adamic civilization and some kind of supernatural empowering of the devil. Satan isn't using supernatural power. He's using the power that we have given him. And that power has now been stripped from him, and the only way he can do anything is with your consent and cooperation. Look in Isaiah chapter 14, chapter 14, and this is another passage where once again it's talking about the king of Babylon, but it's really not talking about him. It's talking about the demonic power that operates through him. In Isaiah 14:4, it says, "Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against us." You know, coming from Texas, I used to think that that was talking about that nobody has come out against us. It says, "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us?" Again, not talking about some supernatural demonic power. He has been relegated to nothing. He has to have us, somebody with a physical body, to empower him to flow through. In verse 11, "Thy pomp is brought down to the grave and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Satan's sin wasn't that he hated God. It was that he was envious of God. He wanted the glory that was going to God. He wanted God's position. And he was lifted up with pride. And he saw that the power that was given unto angels was a delegated power. If he would have tried to use it against God, you couldn't overcome God with the power that he created. But what he could do, he could go to mankind who was given an unconditional authority that God would not violate it. And if he could get man to submit unto him, then we empowered Satan. We made Satan. God made Lucifer. We made Satan. We empowered him. And the good news about that is, if we empowered him, now through the authority that we have in Jesus, all we can take that power back. He can't do anything to us without our consent and cooperation. If you understand that, it just makes the battle between us and Satan a brand new deal now. He's a defeated foe. You know, during the same period of time that I was telling you about when I became aware of demonic stuff, there was a room in our house in Arlington, Texas that my grandmother died in, and my grandmother went senile and did some strange things before she died, and there were demons left in that room. We didn't know what it was. When I was a little kid, she died when I was 8 years old. And I was in a room with my brother, so I didn't want to share the room with my brother, so I moved into the room where my grandmother lived. I wasn't in there but about a week, and I was gone because things happened in that room. Her pictures came off of the wall, and things were going on in that room. And at 8 years old, I was afraid to tell anybody what was happening because I knew it wasn't supposed to be this way, and I was afraid they'd make fun of me, but I didn't last but about a week, and I moved back in with my brother. So my brother moved in that room. He didn't last but a week. He came back in. So my sister decided she'd move into that room and my brother could have her room. She didn't last but a week. We lived and that room always stayed empty. And then when we started having Bible studies and stuff, everybody would go into every room of that house to pray. with each other, but nobody would go into that room. We kept that room shut up. We didn't keep it air conditioned. We didn't keep it heated. It was always shut up, and nobody knew exactly why. When I got turned on to the Lord and began to realize about demonic stuff, I put two and two together, and I figured out what it was. And so one day I went in there, and I was going to cast those demons out of that room and get rid of this stuff. And so I was in there, I closed the door behind me, and I was rebuking, and I was speaking and binding, and man, I had all the hair on the back of my neck standing up. I was thinking, oh Jesus, I'm glad I can't see into the spirit realm, because there's probably these huge demonic powers with fangs and claws that are just barely, I'm just barely able to survive against them. And I was seeing me just walking through this gauntlet of demonic powers that were just about to consume me. And the Lord spoke to me while I was doing that and said, you got it all wrong. If you could see into the spirit realm, he said, you'd see these little tiny things, about like an ant, that are nothing. And they're 99% mouth. They're just big mouth. All they can do is yell. They're just screaming, trying to intimidate you, but they're nothing. And you know what? When I saw that, instead of this hair raising up on the back of my neck, and instead of fear, I mean, it was like the Incredible Hulk came on me. Like, I'm the one that has power and authority. How dare the devil intimidate me? And you know what? Something snapped on the inside of me, and that's when I began to start changing some things. You know, I went to a man's house one time in Trinidad, Colorado, and I was spending the night with him, and he had some attack dogs, pit bull dogs.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get four Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.